If you don't know me, my name's Rachel, as Lynn just gave away. My name is Rachel and I'm one of the elders here at Hebron. I'm just back after 3 weeks on holiday and I want to tell you that I really missed you. So I've been praying for you while I've been away. And it's interesting, coming back to this particular topic today is quite interesting. Jonathan, if I could ask you to put up my slide that says the word unity on it, please. So, as we start today, I want to just tell you we're in a passage in Ephesians, a great book of the Bible. We're in Ephesians chapter 4. So if you can see a church Bible in front of you, or someone can pass you one, I'd like you to turn to page 1175, please. 1175. So we're starting a new series today. This passage in Ephesians is all about our character and our actions individually and collectively. Unlike some bits of the Bible, I don't know about you, sometimes I struggle, particularly in Romans, this is written in easy to understand, clear language, and that's going to help us this morning. It focuses in on two strong messages. One is about unity and one is about maturity in the church. So let's just read this together. It's written by Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bonds of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean? Except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe." Isn't that the message of Easter Sunday? Jesus descended and then ascended. Hallelujah. So Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Look, that's why we're equipped for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning of craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. What a great passage. So let's be clear that when we talk about the church, we already know that we're talking about all sorts of different groupings of Christians. But today, we're just going to focus on a local grouping. So us here as Hebron Church. I'm not ignoring all the other layers and levels. It's just I've only got 20 minutes and there's only so much you can do. So I am not a Greek and Hebrew scholar. But I looked up this word that is used for the church, the Greek word ecclesia. It's made up of two Greek words, apparently. If you speak Greek or Hebrew, just excuse my pronunciation. But ek, which means out of, and kallio, which means to call. So ecclesia means a called assembly or gathering of people. Translated into English, we use the word church. It's the people, not the building. Well, I always like to start in things with the words of Jesus. I found it pretty helpful during life. If I'm stuck, look at what Jesus said about it. Jesus only refers to the church on two occasions in the New Testament. The second one is all about church discipline. We're not going there this morning. But the first one is really encouraging. It's Matthew 16, verse 18. And Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I thought you might like to know that the gates of Hades is a reference to forces of death and evil. I will build my church, and death will not overcome it. Hooray! Well done. Jesus has said that. We know that to be true and reliable. So we're called to live in ways that are consistent with God's work in the world. To work for his purposes, not against his purposes. And in the church setting, that means to build up the church rather than to tear down community in our church setting. So I mentioned we were going to look at two words, unity and maturity. So if you'd like to go to verse 3, if you're following along in your Bible, which I hope you are, we see Paul says in verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Well, what does that mean? I was quite blown away when I looked into this. The unity that the Spirit creates is the unity of the Trinity itself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we are told to model our unity on the unbreakable, eternal relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's not the kind of a, how are you, I'm fine, message, is it? That's not good to see you, I'm praying for you. That's something far deeper and far more permanent in the nature of our connection with each other. Verse 4 goes on to emphasise that unity, that oneness. I don't know if you spotted this. It's a bit like a drumbeat in verse 4. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Now, some Christians, and I know a few of them, will say, I am part of the worldwide church. I am part of God's family, but I don't go to church. My faith is a personal relationship between me and the Lord. And yet, yes, at the heart of your faith and my faith is a wonderful one-to-one relationship with Jesus, our Saviour. But the outworking of your faith, as it's described in the Bible, is not a quiet, hidden, one-to-one relationship. It is a visible demonstration of what it means to follow Jesus. That comes through relationship. If we don't worship together and work together, how on earth can people around us out in the village come to see the unity that we're told to strive for? Maybe it's quite easy to feel unity if there's just you. I find it quite easy to agree with myself on many occasions. But that's not what the Bible calls us to or calls me to in any way whatsoever. If we look at verse 7, Paul goes on to say, even our spiritual giftings are given to build unity and for the benefit of others. So in this verse, Paul lists some of the gifts God gives to individuals. He talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. We know that's not the whole list of the gifts God gives to us. But he pulls out those. They're all quite verbal gifts in this passage. God speaks his word to us so that we can speak it with and to each other. So there's a very strong message of real unity at the beginning of this chapter, and it's followed by a call to maturity. And here we see two things that are a great contrast. If we could have our next slide, which I hope won't distract you. So verse 14 and 50 paint a pretty grim picture, and it's on a loop. Because that's what our lives are like sometimes, to be honest. A picture of a church made up of immature Christians who are ignorant about Jesus, who are divided, Christians who don't yet stand on solid ground. So as a result, they're exposed to poor teaching, misleading narrative about what Jesus teaches, and they're disconnected from God's clear path and directions. Bad on an individual level, disastrous on a collective level. We can picture them like battling a bad storm, heads down, not looking ahead, staggering about, falling over, clinging on to anything that appears to offer stability. And then we go to verse 16 and we see such a dramatic contrast. It says, the whole body, joined and held together, grows and builds itself up in love as each does its work. Christians joining together not only to proclaim the gospel, but to build up the church rather than tear it down. So just to be clear, if you are a brand new Christian, that's absolutely wonderful. We don't expect you to know or be what you've not yet learnt and grown into. There's lots for you to learn. There are people to help you grow. You have a great journey ahead to understand more about Jesus. But if you've been a Christian for a while now, you are called to maturity, not to tread water in the shallow end. If we go on a slide, we'll go back one if we may. We might not go back one, but it was a picture of the deep end of a swimming pool. I don't know about you, but I found the deep end a little bit scary. I won't tell you a story about sharks, I'll leave that for another day. But I'm an all right swimmer, I'm not a fabulous swimmer. And in the deep end, when I can't touch the bottom, I feel a bit worried. But I recognise that Jesus calls me to the deep end. He calls you to the deep end, to a deep, rich faith and knowledge of his love that is beyond all of our boundaries, where we can't touch the bottom. So look, we've taken some time to look at these messages in Ephesians 4, unity and maturity. We're going to move on and say, so what? So what does this mean for us here in Hebron? But before we do, we're just going to take a light moment to look at some other people's interpretations of this theme, better together. The phrase on those says union in strength. They were produced for a union in Canada to encourage membership. But I think we could equally say unity is strength, couldn't we? We are better, simply better together as we go along. So, we've looked at Paul's excellent teaching. If you haven't read the rest of that chapter, because we only read half the chapter, take some time to do that later today. It's great teaching. But what does this mean practically for us as the people of God called to gather here in Hebron? I want to look at three things. Why are we here? Which is a big existential question that Mel could probably answer for us with a philosophical answer. But by that I mean, why are we here at Hebron? What is church for? And what can we only do well together? Well, I love the writings of C.S. Lewis. In Mere Christianity, he said, the church exists to draw men and women into Christ. I like that. It's very simple, isn't it? On a very straightforward level, if our church doesn't do that one thing well, then it doesn't really matter what else we do. This is the Great Commission that Jesus gave us. Most of us know the version in Matthew 28, but it's also repeated in Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, just to make sure we get it, that is what Jesus wants us to do. Whether you describe that as mission or evangelism or sharing the gospel, the term isn't really important. We are called to bring people to Christ. However, if we are doing that, and I believe that's what we're trying to do here in Hebron, Then a set of other helpful things are also part of being church. Remembering that the church is gathered people, that's literally us. I could do something really awful, I won't do this. I could get us all to come and stand together like those ants, really close to each other, and feel like a gathered, unified group, but we're British, so that probably isn't possible. I've come up with a list of five things that I think the church is here for. You may have more, speak to me later and put me right. I'm very happy about that. So at the top, drawing men and women, boys and girls, to Christ. Secondly, giving glory to God and worshipping him. We do that every week here as we meet. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind and strength, we're told. We are made to worship God. You might say, yes, Rachel, I'm happy with that one. I enjoy that bit normally. Good. We're here to have fellowship with other believers, to be supporting and encouraging, bearing with one another's burdens, growing closer and warmer through community life, building up our church. You might say, I find that one fairly easy generally, sometimes not, some funny people, but mainly I find that quite easy. We're called to be discipling people, including us, in their knowledge and understanding of Christ, learning together, growing and maturing so that we might be more like Jesus. I don't know about you, but that growing and maturing bit challenges me. How do I put down things that in reality are childish behaviour on my part and say, Lord, you call me to more? People should be able to look at my life and see something of you. And finally, we're called to minister to others, acts of service as we often refer to it, acting as God's hands and feet in a world that is troubled and demonstrating love and care to others, both in here and out there. Well, you might say, that's great, Rachel, that was a pretty obvious list. We didn't really need you to talk to us about it this morning. I want to talk to you about why should you be part of church and why are we better together? And when I say being part of church, I don't mean just coming along and being a bottom on a seat. I mean really being part of this gathered people of God. Well, again, I've got a little list so that you can follow what I'm saying. Check I don't miss important things. First of all, and really importantly, because God knows what's best for you. God knows what's best for me. I'll be honest with you and say it absolutely terrifies me to think that I might be missing out on what God has for me because I think I know better. That really scares me. In my early 20s, I was living away from home and I went to a local church for a year and I just really struggled to connect there. So for the next 3 years, I only went to church when I came home. I regret that time in hindsight. I regret what I missed in those 3 years. And I regret how that affected my life. I had to do quite a chunk of work to get back on track with God. God was good to me, drew me back. I want what God says is best for me. You want what God says is best for you. We want that for each other. And God says that being part of church is part of what's best for you. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And I recognise we have many competing demands on our time. Gathering together is important, according to the Lord. Church should not feel optional. If you disagree with that, come and talk to me afterwards. Number two, because God is here when we meet together. Who wants to miss that opportunity to meet with God? Matthew 18, verse 20 says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." Nowhere in the Bible, nowhere does it talk about an effective Christian being a lone ranger. I don't know about you, yesterday morning I got the theme tune from Champion the Wonder Horse in my brain, if anybody remembers that. I tried to explain it to my son. He said, "What, like the Lone Ranger, Mummy?" And I said, no. That was something completely different. But we are not called to be lone rangers. It makes us isolated and exposed to risk. Can I just ask, don't you want to see what God can do with us all together? Don't you just want to see what God can do when we all turn our hearts and our minds and our effort in the same direction? I think we're doing that. I think we are changing. Number three, and if the children were down now, there would be young teenagers who would sigh and huff at this point. God didn't call us to gather and worship to burden us. Do you remember when you were a kid? Right, we're off to church. Oh, do I have to? I'm really tired. Maybe you feel that some mornings. God called us to gather and worship to bless us. And there are many people here. If I had a half an hour extra now, I would stop and I would ask people in the room just to tell us about their experience of the tremendous and blessing and support they've received of being part of our church. Number four on my list, God acts in power when we gather and worship together. Jesus is in the midst of us when we're here, and I can think of a number of times when I've sat in this church and I've felt the Holy Spirit here, seen the Holy Spirit at work, heard people bring their testimony of what God was doing in their mind and their heart right then, sat in these seats. On a human level is number five. We all have a deep longing to connect with other people. I mean, not everybody. I know there are people I don't really want to connect with in the wider world, but God's talking to me about that. Church community is a gift, and it fulfills a deep need in us. And I want to say that Christian podcasts, Christian TV, Christian books, Christian conferences, they all have their place, but they do not replace what we get through gathering regularly and consistently as the people of God in this place. Post-COVID, many Christians have really struggled to get back into the habit of being in church regularly. We need to be here because we are lessened when any one of us isn't here. I don't say that to burden you or to judge you. I say that to tell you, if we are the gathered people of God, you need to be here, because God's got a thing for you to do. I was reading an article saying that in the body, it was a Christian article saying in our body, we have 2,000 different moving parts. Okay, well, we don't have 2,000 people in our church. Some of us are going to have to double up on a few of those things. But I don't want to particularly be without a bit of my body that's doing something important. That's us as we gather together. Church is not a spectator support. It's not like, well, I'll go along and I'll watch this next episode in the series, but then I might miss a couple. And sport isn't a performance. A church isn't a performance either, where we are judged by critical observers. Finally, we grow more when we walk together. Life's messy. We're all human. No one is perfect. So walking together means we have to work at it. It really knocks off our sharp edges. It helps us refine ourselves and our characters. And I would just say to you, how can we be salt and light in the world if we can't manage it with each other? This is a training ground. This is a practice room for what we take out into the world. Finally, I just want to say, you might be sitting here thinking, Rachel, this is all very well in theory, but my experience of church hasn't been that wholesome. I've been hurt at church. I've been wounded by the way other people have treated me. I've felt isolated. I've felt ignored. I feel unloved. I feel I'm used and overworked. That might have been here or in another church. You might say, Rachel, church isn't this wonderful place of blessing that you've described. And I get that. I've been there. But if this is the best model that God has for us, if this is the model God gives us to be his people, could you hold on to the hope that church could be more than your experience so far? That what's already happened is not necessarily a sign of what's to come. Could you stay in the game, believing that God loves you and has good things for you in this group of people? Most things don't work when we're half in and half out. So my challenge to you this morning is this time now for you to be all in our church, our gathered community of Christians here? God knows you inside and out. So you don't need to worry about the fact that people might find things out about you don't want them to know. God knows it already. And if you are sitting here this morning thinking, actually, I love being here in church, could you come alongside someone else who is really struggling, who's holding on to things that happened to them before or have happened to them recently? Could you behave in such a loving, godly way to them that they have confidence to be all in church? And if you are holding a grudge against other people here in this church, isn't it time to forgive them and put it down so we can genuinely be those who walk with each other in the name of Jesus? I know that's not easy, but it's not impossible. Our vision, which is just on the next slide, says we want every adult and child in Long Ashton to encounter the love of Jesus. And we go on and say we want to walk closely with the people of Long Ashton, seeking the coming of God's kingdom in our community, meeting practical and spiritual needs, helping people come to know Jesus, and work closely with the wider church locally and globally. That's how we present ourselves to the people around us, the people in the houses I can see out of the windows this morning. That's a group activity, not just individuals with a private faith that we hoard and we hang on to like treasure, but God's people together, growing, reaching out, a bit like the church in Acts, which is a frightening and wonderful example for us all. People coming to know Jesus here and finding a home where they become part of the mission of the church. It's a big vision and it requires a lot of us, real change, not just lip service. But can I ask you this morning, in your heart of hearts, don't you want to be all in? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be all in? I do. I'm scared by it, but I really do. Let's pray that God will give us courage and faith to do that. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that all your ideas are good ones, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all that works out in your wonderful creation. We thank you, Lord, that you had this picture in your mind of the gathered people of God. The word we would use for that is church. Lord, thank you for each one of us here today. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we would increasingly be all in, committed to change, committed to growing, committed to doing the difficult work we might have to do individually and with each other, to become more of what you want us to be. Because, Lord, we want to fulfill the mission of your church, to draw men and women to Christ. Lord, I pray that whatever has been useful and helpful and of you this morning will stick now deeply in people's hearts, and that anything else will fade away like chaff. Lord, we want to be your people. Help us, we pray. Amen.